Myrne, I'd like you to tell me about your mother's parents.
Well, my grandfather came from Maryland, and my grandmother came from Virginia. And I suppose they met and married in Oklahoma, as far as I know. Anyway, my grandfather was a great guy. He was a Civil War lieutenant. And
did he ever tell you stories about the Civil War?
Yes. When I was about 10 or 12 years old, he gave me a brief autobiography of his life, you know. And he was a masonry, and he laid the cornerstone of the White House on the south side. And he was also a pharmacist.
Was that later, or?
That was before he met my grandmother. And for some reason or the other, I guess he went to Oklahoma. I guess that my grandparents, I never did hear them really say, but I suppose they moved from Virginia to Oklahoma. And that's where my mother was, that's where they met, and my mother was born there, and she was the only child. Then in 1901, they came to Clarendon, Texas, and he bought a little farm there, 140 acres, I believe. And he built a little house, and he came on ahead because the Indians were still there then. And my grandmother and my mother came out from Oklahoma in a covered wagon. They brought their cows and their chickens and the hogs and so forth and so on, and horses.
Were they by themselves, or were they with a group?
No, they were by themselves. And my mother drove the cattle on her little pony that she had part of the time. And they would camp, and the old chickens would lay their eggs. And they arrived sometime in 1901, I believe it was. And they lived there until both of them passed away. Then my mother grew up. Then she went to some college in Oklahoma and took a college course. I don't know, just forgot now what it was. And she met my father and married. And there was 8 children of us, 4 boys and 4 girls.
Let's go back a minute. And did your mother talk about what it was like growing up on that farm?
Oh, yes, she just loved it. She was quite active in all the, the participations around there. She'd go into the little town, which was 7 miles from their farm, and she did a lot of skating and dancing. And then she rode the little Indian pony to her school. And as I grew up later, I went to the same school that she did. And my brother also was just older than me.
Can you tell me what the farmhouse was like?
Well, we had a bedroom. My grandparents did. We had one bedroom and a kitchen and a dining room and a living room and a couple of porches. And, of course, we had outhouses for the cattle and chickens and ducks and turkeys. We raised all that, and they had a beautiful orchard. And they raised from cotton to anything that grew. And, of course, us kids grew up there. They built us a little house, you know. My father farmed it for a while. And we grew up right there on that farm till they got so many of us kids they had to move into town. Find a bigger house.
What was your grandmother like?
Oh, she's the most precious woman that I think had ever breathed breath. She was, she just did helping of everyone. And she did her own canning, you know, and we had our own cellar where we stored our winter foods. And then we had our own orchard, and of course we canned all of our fruit and everything. But she would go out and help the neighbors out you know, and they needed food and they didn't have it, or someone was ill and she'd go and sit up with them. Someone passed away in those days, they sat up with their dead. And she would go and spend the whole night with them. She'd take something to for them to eat, the family to eat, you know, and we went in, of course, in buggy. And if we didn't have the buggy, we went in the wagon. And that's about it until, well, until I had to move into town with my folks to go to school. I spent the biggest part of my life, though, with my grandparents.
What was your grandfather like?
Oh, he was a little guy. My grandmother was a little hefty gal. And my grandfather, he was a little short fellow. And during the Civil War, this big cannonball hit the horse. He was in the cavalry. And the cannonball hit the horse in the chest. And, of course, killed the horse, and her grandfather broke his leg. And so it got really bad, and he took the flu or pneumonia. And some Indian tribes took him in and nursed him back to health. And he said one day that this Indian lady made him some soup. Oh, he said it was delicious. And when he got down to the bottom of the bowl, there was a grasshopper leg. He said he supposed it was made out of grasshoppers.
Now, did he fight with the Confederacy?
Oh, yeah, the South, the yes. South. Yeah, he was a Southerner. Mm-hmm. And he always said, the damn Yankees. And he was married before he married my grandmother, though, and they had two children, a boy and a girl. And the daughter, his daughter, had three daughters and one son. Well, one married a guy from Vermont. And my aunt always said she didn't like him because he was nothing but a damn Yankee. And my grandfather said the same. There was one of the first airplanes, you know, the little biplanes, I suppose it was, came to this little town. And my grandfather was in his 80s. And they rushed out and told him about it. And he went in and they gave him a free ride. And they rode him all the way to Amarillo, Texas, which was 60 miles from the town we lived in. And he got a big write-up in the paper about it. That's about it.
Tell me about your father's parents.
Well, I didn't know them too well. They were California people. And they were, although they were living in California, but they were from Arkansas. And I never was around them too much. He was kind of a religious person, my grandfather was. And I just didn't know them too well. In other words, they didn't live close to us, and we couldn't afford to go and see them, you know. But they did come see us occasionally, our grandparents. And that's about all that I know of them.
You said your parents met at college in Oklahoma?
Well, no, they really met when Mother came home on her summer vacation. And they were, pardon me, and they were married there in Clarendon, Texas.
Okay, so he was in Clarendon.
Yes, yes. I guess he was down there working. I don't remember that part of it. And then he would, there wasn't enough work there, and he'd go other places, other little towns around and work, you know.
What are your parents' names?
Davis, Nellie and Jess Davis. They're both passed on now.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Catlett, C-A-T-L-E-T-T. And we were all proud of that. And I had three sisters and four brothers. And one sister and one brother is gone now. And, of course, my mother and father are gone.
You said your father worked...
As a farmer, and then he worked at gin, whether gin cotton, you know, make it into bales. And us kids had to get out in the field and work. We had to pick cotton. We had to old thrash all the fodder or whatever, pick corn, cut the cane. And my grandparents always had a fellow in the community that made the syrup, you know. We'd cut the cane for him, and he'd run it through, and he'd get so much syrup, and we'd get so much syrup for doing the job he didn't have to pay.
Now, did your parents immediately move on to the farm as soon as they were married?
Well, yes. As I said, my grandparents built him a little house up there. And as us kids came along, we got bigger, you know. They had to move into town, and my father was going back and forth, which was 7 miles. And so they thought it would be cheaper. He was driving an old Model T. And they thought it would be cheaper if they rented a house in town, you know. And but I stayed with the grandparents, myself and my older brother. We stayed with the grandparents, and we went to school until we had to go into town because we run out of grades in the country school. And I went into town, and I finished the 10th grade. And then I guess I went to work in a dime store there. I was about 14 years old, 13, something like that.
You said your parents had 8 children?
Yes.
What order did they come in, and where were you in?
Well, I was the second one, number 2. And then a brother, then a sister, and then a brother, another sister and a brother. That's it.
Do you remember the years that you were all born? I'd like to.
No, I don't. I remember my older brother. He was born in 1909, and I was born in 1913. But I did have them down, but I don't know where they are right now. Yeah, we all went down. My youngest brother, he's, let me see here. He must be 30. No, yeah. He's 48, youngest one down.
Do you remember hearing stories about your birth?
No. See, I was, my birth certificate says I was born in Texas, but I wasn't. I was born over here in Santa Fe Springs, California. But when I came out here, after I grew up and married and came out here, I had to have a birth certificate right away. Douglas wanted me to have the birth certificate right away. So I don't even know whether I made one whenever I was born or not. Anyway, my mother knew the clerk and everyone at the courthouse, so she went down and they wrote her out a birth certificate for me that I was born in Clarendon.
Well, how did you happen to be born in Santa Fe Springs?
Well, my father and mother had moved out here and was living with his father. And then as soon as I went back, I think they told me I was about a year old when we went back to Texas. My grandfather used to have a post office over in Santa Fe Springs, down Whittier and all of in there, La Harbor. And so then they went on back to Texas because mother couldn't be away from her parents, you see. And I was, as I said, I was raised up there on the farm.
Were you born at home or in a hospital?
I was born at home in a 2-story house over in San Fe Springs. And I don't suppose it's still there yet.
Do you know who was there when you were born?
No, I don't. No. Mother never mentioned it. And I was named from her girlfriend that she met in school. And she lived in Colorado Springs. And that's how I got the name Myrna. And everyone thinks it should be Myrna, but but it's plain old Myrna.
What about the births of your younger brothers and sisters? Were you aware of
yes,
when those were happening?
Yes, and they were all born at home, except the last one. I believe he was, no, I'll take that back. He was born at home, too. Yes.
What would happen when there would be
Well, they would send all of us kids up to my grandmother's, and my grandmother would come in. I'd stay with the grand. We'd all stay with the grandfather, and my grandmother would get in the buggy, and away she'd go into town, you know, for the little ones. Well, couple of the little ones was born out on the farm in this little house. It was two-room house, and a couple of them was born out there. And the rest of them into the town of Clarendon, which was just a little wide place in the road.
Was there a doctor or a midwife?
No, there was always a doctor. Always a doctor, no midwife. I suppose they had a doctor with me out here. I don't know. Mother never did tell me. And that's about it.
What kinds of things did your mother do? Was she ever involved in, when you were young, in things outside the house?
No, she never was. My father was involved with the church. He was a superintendent of the Sunday school there in this little old one-horse place where I went to school, Martin Community. And he was a superintendent of the Sunday school there. But mother was raised Episcopalian, and when we moved from there, we went to another farm outside of Clarendon, 4 miles, and we would go to the Episcopal Church, and we walked the 4 miles. My brother and I walked the 4 miles, and she wasn't active in church, but she did go to church, the Episcopalian. But my father and all his people were on the Baptist side. And I suppose I'm still Episcopalian, I don't know. And that was about it. That's where I first started the school, was at this farm. As I said, I had to move to town. So that's about it.
What kinds of things did you, responsibilities did you have around the house, or around the farm when you were growing up?
Well, I worked in fields. Yeah, I worked in fields mostly. And we had to carry water, I wouldn't say not even a quarter mile. So we had, and I had to help milk the cows. Did a lot of milking, separating the milk. And my grandmother and always sold butter and eggs and chickens and milk, you know. We'd get into the buggy and away we'd go to town with all this stuff. She'd buy her groceries for the whole month. Her staples, mostly.
Did you have household chores as well?
No. No. Mother always did all that. She said we didn't suit her the way we did it. But we had to go out in the gardens, you know, and out in the fields and pick the vegetables and bring in to her, and she did all the cooking and the housework, because she said we didn't do it sooner. She was very particular about it. Man, we'd rather work in the fields anyway, where we'd get out there and play.
So you all worked in the field?
Yes, all except one brother, and he always had the hay fever. He couldn't go out. We say it raised some of the biggest watermelons around that little community that there was. Great big things, 16, 70, 80 pounds watermelons. And we had everything, raised everything.
Were there other families close by?
Oh,
other
yes.
Other children that you played with?
Oh, yes. There was three houses, I'd say, right close. The highway and the railroad run through my grandfather's farm. And just beyond that, which was about three-quarters of a mile, was some kids. And right about 100 feet from there was some more. And about 200 feet was some more. So we just had, you know, a whole group of us. I know they used to come over to my grandmother's and we'd visit and play and... But there was no girls. I always had to play with the boys. I had to make a girl out of people.
What kinds of things would you play?
Oh, well, I had a little cook stove, and he'd be the papa, you know, and I'd be the mama, and my dolly would be our children. And we'd go up in the orchard and play underneath the big apple tree. And I would cook our dinner on my little play stove, you know, had to build a fire in it. That's the way we had a coal stove and a wood stove. So that's the way we kept warm in the wintertime. And that's what I did in my little cast iron stove. But I always worked in the fields. No, you want to ask another question.
Did you play, did you climb the trees and play sports and games like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I was always a tomboy because I thought I could do it just as much as the boys did. They used to climb up on the trees, you know, and hang by their knees or by their heels or something. And I thought, well, I could do that too. And, of course, I always had on a dress. My grandmother wouldn't let me wear pants.
I was going to ask that.
And later in years, I got to wear the old overalls and the coveralls. And I got to do more then. And I was always just an outdoor girl, always, ever since I've been big enough to remember, and I still am. But we'd get crawl up in the trees and drop out, you know, and crawl up in the trees and shake the mulberries down or the apples or peaches or whatever grandmother couldn't reach, you know, and we couldn't reach. I was always tickled to death to do that. But when they'd send us to the fields, to the cotton fields, and drag that old sack, I thought I'd die. I think that's what's been on my back today. Then I had to move with my parents. They moved in another community. And my brother and I had to do the farming.
When was this?
Well, I went over there in the summertime. And, you know, not school. And I would always help him do the farm through the 3 or 4 months, you know. And we gathered and then I'd go over on the weekends. But I'd always go back to my grandmother's.
Now, was this before they moved into town?
Well, they moved several different places. Then they moved back to a farm. And then that's when I would have to go over there and help my older brother.
Why did you choose to stay with your grandparents?
I don't know. I just liked them. I just loved them. And they wanted me to stay. They always wanted one of us kids there. And my older brother, until he got old enough, why, he went to live with another family right close to us, neighbors, because they had 2 boys, and they were about his age. And he lived up there with them most of the time, back and forth, but up there most of the time. And then my brother, just younger than me, he lived with my grandparents, too. As we got older, one just, you know, live with them, and the other go home and go to school, because the schoolhouse where we were, you know, didn't have the grades. And I don't know, I always loved my grandparents. I always wanted to live with them, and I did. But I worked for what I got. You know, our food and our clothes, we worked for it. My grandmother never let us sit around. You don't sit around and be idle and dream and get into mischief. And I used to be on a basketball team there at the school, country school, and then after I went into town, we had our own basketball players, you know, I was one of them. We used to travel to the little communities around, as we call them, like where I was raised, and we'd play ball games, basketball, and I used to play a little bit of baseball. Myself and another girl, we used to play to the boys. Well, we thought we were as big as they were.
These school teams were both boys and girls?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and we traveled to a whole bunch of us. Parents would go along, you know, to chaperone us. Well, it was a very interesting life that I led just growing up.
What was discipline like in your house?
Well, we had to be in at a certain hour. I had to be in by 9 o'clock. Or my grandmother met me at the front gate and she scared the boyfriend away. Boy, he sure did run. No, I had to always be in at 9 o'clock when we played these games, you know, and I'd go to the other communities. As soon as that game was over, you got home. You didn't get home if you went by and got an ice cream cone or a soda or something, why, and lingered. Then she'd always let me know about it. She'd met us at the front gate.
What about before that, when you were younger?
Well, I never went anywhere, only to the festivals or picnics that we had there. We'd always go in the buggy or the wagon, as I say, and I went along with the grandparents. Once in a great while, I'd get to stay all night with another girl, or we'd have, all of us girls would have slumber parties at my grandmother's house. And some of the guys, that, you know, the boys would come along and terrorize us, holler and boo outside, you know. We'd get scared. Grandparents would have to go out and run them off. They knew we was having a slumber party, you know. They wanted to aggravate us. Oh, you make me recall a whole lot back. I'd forgotten about it.
What would happen when you did naughty things when you were young?
Well, I was.
Did you ever do naughty things?
No, not really. I had lived up to specifications, you know. My grandmother said. Grandfather didn't say too much, but when he said it, you better listen to him. We never got a spanking. We got an awful lot of scoldings, but we never got a spanking. And I used to roller skate quite a bit whenever I grew up bigger, you know, in town. A big roller rink came in, and we hung out there quite a bit roller skating. And I couldn't even stand up on a pair of legs, I don't think.
What were holidays like?
Oh, we loved the holidays. We always went on picnics. And we'd take our own lunch. Or we'd all meet at the schoolhouse, you know, on a big spread. They'd take out big, long tables. Everybody in the whole community would come, you know. We'd just have a big spread. And, of course, the kids there were all swinging and playing ball and this, that, and the other. We always had something to do. But, and then my grandmother, we had what they call a salt creek. It was a little creek running down about, oh, I'd say 5 miles from where we lived. And we went over there and we'd pick wild plums and wild grapes. And she'd bring them home and we'd have to fix the grapes for her to can and the grape jelly and this jam and this, that, and the other. We never had any wine. It was always grape jelly or grape preserves or something. And plum, the wild plum. And of course we had an orchard and we had to do that. We had to. I always got real glad whenever she went to pick the peaches and the apricots and the apples from me crawl upon the house, you know, and put them out there to dry, because I always liked to crawl up on that house. And I just knew sometime I was going to roll off there, but I didn't.